This is CliffCentral.com. Good morning, everybody. Arg. We're here. It's Wednesday. You ready for the day? Ready to get cracking? Gord is here. Ben is here. Sia's here.
Hello.
You are here, most importantly. Because otherwise, what would we be doing? We'd be having breakfast really, really, really early together. That would be pointless.
I'd be sleeping, yeah. Which would be great. Not at all what I like to do.
No. What time do you, if you're left alone, what time do you wake up?
Like, bro, without the intervention of technology, about lunchtime?
Really?
Yeah, I can just sleep. Because I struggle to, I'm one of those people that's hard to get down and hard to get up. I thought long and hard before saying that and realized it was...
Sounds revolting.
It was entendre laden. No, it takes me a long time to get to sleep. Yeah. And then when I'm asleep, it's difficult to get me up. But I mean, for work and that kind of thing, like 7:30.
Gord, do you find it's because of emotional or physical reasons that you battle to get to sleep?
It's actually been an ongoing thing through most of my adult life that can cause real trauma, Ben. So before we tread down this road,
I heard a trigger warning.
Yeah, I just got triggered because I did actually almost die from insomnia once and had to go to hospital and be in treatment for a while.
Okay, really?
So, I mean, like, well, yeah. You've definitely dug a crease for this, what you're saying.
Yeah, well,
you go into bat for insomnia. You take middle.
Yeah, it's a real thing. Acute insomnia actually does kill people. It's a pretty horrible way to go as well. But
the reason I ask is I'm genuinely fascinated by why people can't sleep and lack of sleep.
Yeah, it is.
And things you can try to do to remedy that because...
Routine's huge.
Yeah, because everyone's got a strategy or at least has something they work towards. So, I mean, it's an interesting topic.
But I'm back now to where I was like before sort of 5 or 6 years ago when things became a real problem, which is where... Most nights it takes me like an hour to go to sleep. Sometimes I go straight to sleep. Sometimes it takes me 3 hours, but I kind of just take it in my stride.
Do you look at a screen?
I try not to.
Okay, yeah.
But I'm like okay now. Now I'm back to how I've been for most of my life, which is like sometimes it just takes me a little longer than I'd like to go to sleep, and then I go to sleep. But I am a deep sleeper when I don't just open my eyes at the crack of six and I'm like,
ooh. The reason I asked about that blue screen, the blue light from a computer screen or a phone screen, most people have their phone with them right until they go to sleep, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm guilty of that too from time to time.
Yeah. Me too. Not all the time, but I have to consciously put it away for an hour before I go to sleep.
When I was in sleep rehab. Like
it does affect you?
Oh, listen, let me tell you, you go straight to sleep. If you haven't had that light in your eyes for an hour, laptop screen.
TV screen, any kind of artificial source of light other than like a tungsten bulb.
Correct. I promise you, you want to help your sleep straight away? First thing to
do. When I was in sleep rehab, real thing, like the kind of outpatient part of it.
They tried to make me go to sleep rehab.
I said, no. I said, nothing at all.
That duo must never happen.
So they put you on.
Oh, you want to talk? Tell us not to sing.
They put you on like a routine based thing, and it's like you got to monitor.
Calm down, Supremes. I'm Diana Ross.
You got to go to bed at the exact same time, like literally to the minute, whether you want to read or anything, you do it out of the bed. You're only allowed using your bed for sleeping and boning. You're not allowed to lie there and read.
Oh, really?
Yeah, if you want to read, sit on the couch, whatever.
Is that what they turn you into?
So your brain's got to get used to the idea that the bed is not a place where other things happen. It's not a place where you watch TV. It's not a place where you read.
Yeah.
You're there to sleep, and if you need to bone, bone. Then you go to bed at your set time, which for me was 11 because I wanted to get up at 7. Then it doesn't matter. Like, you're only allowed to get out of the bed if there's like other than a fire or an emergency, it's if you need to go to the toilet. And you get up whether you've had zero sleep, 1 minute of sleep, or 8 hours of sleep. You get up at the exact same time and you stand up as soon as the alarm clock goes off and you get out of bed.
That is stunning.
And then no booze for quite a long time. It was for me like 3 months. Some people have to go for 6 months. Some people have to go forever. But the screen thing is like for an hour and a half before you go to sleep. And you can't even like go to bed earlier. You have to be awake without a screen for like an hour and a half, and it really makes a difference. But I put the blue light filter on now, and I find myself sometimes sending my friend Kulani pictures of proboscis monkeys at 12:30, asking him if he knows what kind of creature they are.
That's normal.
The sleep rehab sounds to me like I think a lot of people could do with it. I know people who drink at night in the week, for example. and then they complain about how they can't get to sleep.
Booze is heavy on your
booze,
sleep.
Booze, yeah, it affects your
circadian rhythms, yeah.
Spoke to a fascinating guy yesterday. We'll be playing the interview today.
No, at a later stage.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, sorry. Producer.
Intervention from the producer.
Won't be today.
Production violation, Gareth.
This guy is Dr. Carlos Alvarez.
Or should he say Carlos López Alvarez?
Anyway, he is...
you shouldn't, but you just did.
It was sexy the way you did it, sir.
He's a very smart dude. So he combines, you know, herbal and shamanic practices like ayahuasca and psilocybin and that kind of thing. You'd be interested in this, Gordon.
I'm keen on this.
Certainly. And he does microdosing of this stuff to help people cure addictions, insomnia, depression, all of that kind of thing. And he's having tremendously positive results. So I thought we'd talk to him and just open our minds.
Dead keen on that, yeah.
If there's one place that we can have these discussions, it's here. So I spoke to him and it's interesting. Like people are, most people's lives are pretty horrible, right?
I guess. I mean, I'll just go with yes as a sweeping answer to that statement.
No, I mean, if you live in it and you're an optimistic person, you don't see your life as being shitty, but compared to what their potential is, a lot of people live way below their potential. They basically just make it through the day and they're proud of themselves for surviving.
Yeah.
And I don't hold any grudge against a person who lives like that, because how the hell would I know what it's like to be them? And how would they know what it's like to be me? And there's no reason in life to be jealous of people who are better than you or who have lives that appear to be better than
jealous
you.
Jealous of people who are better than you.
No, but who appear to have lives that are better than yours. You know, you don't know if someone's better than you. How do you know? Someone might be better than you at maths, but that doesn't mean they're better than you. They might be better than you at snow skiing, but that doesn't mean they're better than you.
Like, you might be better looking, taller, more successful, far financially better off, well known, well loved, have more friends, and generally be considered more knowledgeable than me. But that doesn't mean I should be jealous of your successes or capabilities, guys.
Doesn't mean I'm not
your slender Lego hair, non-aging vampire self.
It doesn't mean that I'm not prepared to condescend to you once a week and spend time with you.
Yeah, thank you for letting me into your presence, Lestat.
My
just
so
because
grateful.
I'm superior to you, immeasurable against like 25 objective metrics, doesn't mean you should be jealous of me.
No, but you also, there's always someone better than whoever you think you are, right? Like there are people who I look at sometimes and I go, must be nice to be them. Yeah. I'm never jealous because I don't really deal with it.
You look upon Kal-El and think, wow, he has abilities.
Yes, exactly.
That
yes.
I would like.
Superman. Yeah. I'd like those abilities. But I was thinking about how people's lives are shitty and I asked this doctor about it and he said, look, the human default condition is suffering. We're very primitive creatures. We come from a long line of long suffering apes.
Yeah. And before that, mammals that had to hide from dinosaurs
and
everything.
And we only made it out of the trees and out of our little nesting places once the dinosaurs had been wiped out.
It was burrowing that
cataclysm.
Saved us.
Yeah.
No, really. Living in the dirt
and
was what saved us from eradication. Those creatures foolish enough to try and liberate themselves from dirt holes in the ground with their arrogance and with their hubris were wiped off the face of the planet. And those of us dwelling under rocks and in mud, we were safe.
Yeah, it's like all those brilliant human beings who forged forth back in the Ice Age and tried to make, you know, a city or whatever. They're all gone.
Yeah.
None of them produced any offspring.
This Africa place is too full of rich resources and abundant game. Oh. We must go north where it gets colder and try and make adventure of this life. Like 1,000 years later, wearing the last woolly mammoth. This is the best, guys. We made it. And I'm pretty sure Zerg and Slurg, who tried to climb over the giant ice mountain, got over. We won't ever know, but I'm sure they did.
Slurg.
Operation Make Asia is underway.
What are their names?
Zerg and Slurg.
Oh, Zerg and Slurg. Oh, rest in peace.
So yeah, you were saying life is suffering and it's shitty. Your sleep doctor was giving us hope
so
about
sleep
problems.
You know what? Life is generally suffering, and there are ways to alleviate that. And he says this microdosing is one way to do it. It definitely has profoundly good effects on depression. It can help people with severe addictions. And they're discovering, because it used to be very taboo to treat people with this stuff, right? Because it was drugs. And,
but they never investigated it properly because it was taboo to treat people with it.
So scientists stayed away from it because they couldn't get it in their labs to actually do the experimentation, because if they were found with it.
And no one wanted to fund it, because it's like, why when there's big pharma agendas to look into, would you want to fund natural medication? Blah, blah, blah.
But he is also a medical doctor. He's a scientist. So before anybody climbs in and goes, oh, please, this Ayurvedic or shamanic or spiritual medicine stuff is bullshit. And I know lots of scientists who will say that.
But there is a world of woo out there. There is a world of woo-woo bullshit out there.
I'm talking specifically, addressing Jonathan Witt.
Himalayan sea salt, the pink kind.
Yeah. But he does have a medical degree. He is a qualified doctor. He practiced in conventional medicine. Ordinary scientific Western medicine for a very long time. But what he's trying to do is incorporate parts of other things that he thinks might be relevant to help people. Yeah. Now, whether or not those things are, you know, that the idea of them is just that it's psychosomatic, that it affects you. Yeah. You hear about it, so you think,
belief that you are unlikely or that it's impossible that you will go to sleep is like more than half of the battle lost. Right, if you're afraid of going to sleep, and that's part of why you've got to get in your bed at a certain time, get out of your bed at a certain time, and do nothing else in your bed, and be there in darkness, no clocks visible at all, is because you've got to get used to the idea that, like, bed is not a traumatic experience, not an emotional experience, not a activity-laden experience. You're just in there to sleep. But believing that you – that's why now if I struggle to go to sleep for more than an hour, which is give or take – somewhere between half an hour and an hour is normal. If I'm still after an hour, still wide awake, whatever, I don't panic about it. I don't go, oh my God, I'm not going to sleep. I can't sleep. I'm never going to sleep. If then once every 2 or 3 months I'm up for a whole night, the next night I'm not like, oh my God, it's happening again. It's happening again. The sleep function is gone. Yeah, I'm just like, okay, well, I'll sleep. I've been through this. I've been through the rehab shit where you're awake for 3-4 days at a time. But what really fucked me and sort of triggered my weight relapse was that it was the medication I was on for it that eventually started doing me
sleeping
way more.
Medication.
Yeah, man, because
that stuff is
and it's
deadly.
Prescription shit. Like, you've seen specialists, you've seen your doctor who you trust. They're all trying their best because not sleeping will kill you.
All the drug stories from Hollywood and the music business where people die are from the sleeping medication, the downers, the stuff that
used to. Because they don't want to give you 5 sleeping pills, they give you antipsychotics. They give you like epilepsy medication because it's got that stabilization effect on you. And once that shit, that they find a cocktail that works that isn't 4 sleeping pills, it's 1.5 sleeping pills plus 1 of these plus half of those. They find a combination like that that works for you. And then either over time, the side effects start to get worse or that starts to not work. Then it's like, oh shit, now we're throwing attempted combinations of a little bit more of this, a little bit less of this, take that away, put you on this, that gives you the shakes, this one makes you itch, now you like can't concentrate on anything. That was proper hell. Taking fistfuls of medication that are changing every few days and still not sleeping for 3 or 4 days at a time, that was like literally the hardest thing I've been through. And because I couldn't then exercise or basically function at all, I stopped with my gym routine, not out of choice. And the one medication, several of them, but especially the one that would help me with sleep, made me eat uncontrollably. And there was the diet out the window. So, but the sort of conclusion to it is that sleep, not sleeping, will fuck you up worse than any other shit. And so, shut up, Gareth. I'm really glad I'm not dead from insomnia, was the bottom line there. And it makes me grateful for my
life.
Ben
and Sia and I all fell asleep during Gord's monologue there. But you can, if you want to, you can.
A monologue?
I'd just like to warn people who've come into the podcast now, you've just missed the best part.
Yeah, well, you guys do invite me, so fuck yourselves.
Oh, no.
So sensitive. Yeah. All right. Anyway.
I'm writing the podcast blurb right now. I've already got like 300 words about this.
Very nice.
Can't wait for your photo, Ben.
It's so shame.
I'm looking forward to that too, Gord.
I'm really not trying to rub it in your face, but here you guys are talking about how you shouldn't be on your phone and you shouldn't drink. I was doing both those things in a well-lit room and I slept in like 2.3 seconds last night.
Okay, that's the point I was going to bring up amongst all the Gordness, but You do realize there's a big
you mean the fascinating, interesting, insightful, honest, and deeply exposing of my inner feelings.
Yes, that's the encapsulating term.
I used one word for all that, Gordon.
Okay. Gordon.
I didn't have a time like you do. But so, see, sometimes we think we get good sleep because we fall asleep. So some people go, oh, I can only sleep after a bottle of wine. Yes, your body physically goes into a sleep kind of thing, but you're not getting the REM, you're not getting the actual purpose of your sleep.
So like Michael Jackson.
Your body's not actually resetting. It's not getting to that state of deep sleep. All you are, you're at a state of like...
Exhaustion,
basically. Mm. So if you think that because you're physically sleeping, you're getting the rest, it's not. So that's why you mustn't have stimulants like coffee or sugar or you mustn't have booze, all these kind of things.
Yeah.
So even if you do, like, I know I get to sleep so quickly that I could fall asleep right now on that couch.
Yeah.
But I just had coffee. I've just had, I don't know what else. I've had a strange breakfast this morning. But I
were those cheese muffins?
Yeah, you're.
No, thank you. I'm on diet, but they look delicious.
See, so
come on, have
so
fun.
Like no. You have to have proper sleep, and it's you go into this deep rest state, and it doesn't just mean because you sleep.
It affects you for up to a week. Especially heavy drinking. Like there are those people who have like one scotch or a glass of wine.
I really
and then it just
appreciate
kind of,
this, but
just
I don't
kind
want
of
to have that.
But
this
did you find the point is you no, find you're one of those people that does roll over and go to sleep.
I know people going to take the one hope I have in this world.
All three serious girlfriends I've ever had have been people that can lie down, put their head on the pillow, and don't make any jokes about how I'm boring, independent of me. They can lie down, put their head on the pillow, and be asleep within 10 seconds. I've never seen anything like it in my life.
What about your light-hearted girlfriends? Do they sleep just as well?
Thanks for that, Ben.
Oh!
It's I get the serious girlfriend, light-hearted girlfriend. Yeah, fuck.
You're use your own joke.
I know it's funny, and that's why I'm feeling defeated over here because I have to just concede and be quietly know that I just took a goal from the Archbishop of Canterbury.
Gord is having a rough start to the day.
I'm trying my best, and everybody's taking advantage of me in my moments of vulnerability.
My light-hearted girlfriends were my favorite.
Gord actually brought his friend Kulani in, and we've heard about Kulani a couple of times. Just get over to this microphone. I want to know what it's like to be Gord's friend.
Kulani, would you like a cheese and herb
in your spare time?
No, 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 thanks.
Kulani, so Kulani, where did you guys meet?
We met at varsity.
Oh, okay, were you studying the same thing?
Yes, we were at Vega.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Breasts.
So what do you and Gord do, like, as mates? Where do you go? What kind of stuff do you get up to?
Well, it's a colourful experience, to say the least.
Such a weird question.
To say the least.
What do you do?
He's asking, why are you Gord's friend? He's essentially, what are the actual fucking benefits? God.
Shut up, I'm why interrogating Kulani, all right? Why are you Gord's friend?
I think it's because I get him.
Does he make you laugh?
Constantly.
Okay.
Although he does wake me up at midnight with photos of proboscis monkeys.
Why are you two sending each other pictures of proboscis monkeys? What's this all about?
I didn't know what it was.
It's hilarious, right?
Knowledgeable about it. I was like, was this a gibbon? He's like, no, don't take it for granted. It's not a gibbon. It's a proboscis monkey.
Oh, it's wow, a nice, look at these things. Nice, look at, interesting looking animal there.
Look at its nose. Can't it's be got healthy. A cock for a nose.
It is the ugliest thing ever. You know the drawings people used to do of the nose and the eyes going over the wall? Yeah. Like when you're in primary school, it's like the only thing you can draw is the little face sticking out over the wall. Proboscis monkey actually has that face.
Yeah.
And you have studied this, yes. Clearly.
I stumbled across a picture of it, and I wasn't sure what it was, and I thought Kulani would know. And he was in the room next to mine because he's currently staying in my guest room. So yes. I was like, Kulani, what's this? And he was like, proboscis monkey.
And you actually answered. I don't know who I judge more here.
We had only just gone to bed, so I knew he was awake. So this story's going nowhere. But Google yourselves, dear listeners. Google yourself a proboscis monkey and know that something uglier than you, no matter how much you mean, exists in the world and managed to procreate for 6 billion years enough to still be in the world, even with humans as an apex predator that kill things for sport. Proboscis monkeys are still alive. You have no excuse to fail at your life.
There's a pic with his wang hanging out.
It's got a wang on its bottom half as well.
You guys are so... Oh,
it looks like Donald Trump.
Weird.
It does look like Donald Trump. But his wang comes out of his stomach almost.
Oh. I have that. I mean...
You have that problem.
This is
either that or it's like
life.
It's like a red rope licorice that he stuck in his belly button.
Do you know, one thing people are very fascinated by, Gord, is your ability to find interesting animals and bring them here, like that Gord beast.
The Gord bird. The prehistoric Satan bird of Gordon.
But yeah. Like Sean the proboscis says, monkey, if he's sexually aroused, does his nose also get hard?
I don't know. We'd have to stroke it and see. But that's how he becomes very arrogant when he's sexually aroused, because his nose is in the air. Dude,
funny.
There's actual videos of a proboscis monkey having a wank, and Ben is showing it to me. Ben is showing me a video of a proboscis monkey knocking one out.
No, but it's stock footage you can buy for $71, a proboscis monkey having a
wank. See, Kulani just told me its name. I didn't get its wrist-eating habits. That's why Ben's more knowledgeable and useful than Kulani.
I did not think this is how my morning would pan out.
After 60 seconds of in-depth research, I'm now an expert at the proboscis monkey.
Sean says, Gareth, to your point, shrooms will save us all. I suppose that's to do with the microdosing that this doctor who we'll talk to in the next couple of days will play out that interview. He's saying that microdosing will help you cure your problems and solve your problems. All right, someone sent me a very long email, but I think this is probably worth looking at. Let's start with the short ones. I hate long emails. Just send me short ones because, you know, if you've got so many ideas in your head, rather send me three different emails.
Mm.
I don't have the ability to concentrate for that long.
Can read like ancient tomes of prehistoric medieval books that you...
Yeah, but that's when I'm sitting on
you
my...
get from your friends at the Illuminati and have to pay in gold ingots for.
Yes.
But you can't read like a page-long email that some listener has taken the time to craft.
But that's in my spare time. And stop criticizing me. I'm very sensitive this morning.
Wow.
All right. This is from Tim in Amsterdam. He says, every time Gord says the word like, we must drink. Try it out the next time he's on the show. I think we might all be in ICU halfway through. Mm. Awesome show, huge fan, Tim.
Thanks, Tim. I haven't heard how you talk, so I can't...
can't tit for tat.
Can't tit for tat right now. It's a one-way conversation.
Sibangu Bukawe says, thanks for the excellent show. Originally from Zimbabwe, but now I'm based in Australia. Keep up the good... God, talk about going from bad to worse. Going from Zim to Oz. Jeez, this person can't choose a good country if he tries. Keep up... for different reasons, obviously. Before our Australian listeners climb into me and say, it's not so bad, it's better than where you are. Not really. Keep up the good work. Tell that idiot Ben.
Oh?
That culture is not stupid. It's got its own positives and negatives like anywhere else.
Everything's got its own positives and negatives. Of course, but it is stupid.
Because we all made of atoms. Tradition for tradition's sake is dumb as hell, though.
Anything that is only focused on looking behind you in life is stupid.
Yeah, and anything that's for the sake of it. Like, we've been doing this for 400 years, so let's keep doing it because we've done it for 400 years. It's like, I've been doing stupid shit for a week. I'm going to make sure I don't do it next week.
Exactly. In life, we are driven to get better at things.
I stubbed my toe yesterday. I'm regretfully going to have to do it every day because now it's a tradition.
It's a good point. How do you differentiate though between tradition and culture? Because they are different.
They are different. Mm. Tradition is kind of, I guess, cyclical. It's kind of a practice that's done for the purpose of honoring a practice that's done for the purpose of still doing it so it doesn't stop getting done.
That lost me.
You do it because you've always done it.
Yeah.
Whereas culture is kind of part of intrinsically of how you interact with the world and people.
There we go. Okay.
It frames your perception of life and your place in the world.
Hmm. Look at you.
There's some profound wisdom from... That's why we bring you here, Gord. It's not for the japes and jokes and laughs.
Yes, it is.
And we actually
it's
do
entirely for that, and that's how you evaluate my shows after every session, of whether it was funny or not.
Yes. The drop of wisdom and the many fun things.
Mm, thanks.
All right. Cancer has affected everyone in some way or form, yet there are still so many stigmas and unknowns around it. Sonia Booth hosts our series called Understanding Cancer. You've got to be practical and realistic about this. You know what? So many people get affected by this goddamn cancer. You have to know how to cope with it and how to deal with it. And this is one way you can get to grips. The podcast series, along with world-class doctors, oncologists, specialists, and more. They talk about cancer in women, men, and children, dealing with cancer financially, lots more. Because there are obviously differences between women's cancers and men's
cancers. Cancer is like many, many, many kinds of different disorders. It's not one cancer and then where it affects you. It's like they're different. They need different treatment. The thing about cancer is that avoiding knowing about it is not going to in any way decrease your likelihood of being afflicted by it or mm-hmm. increase your ability to deal with it. But it is going to make any situation you may find yourself or a loved one finds himself in better to deal with.
Well, if you know you've got cancer early on, you have a better chance of sorting it out.
Exactly.
At 9 a.m. today, two top pediatric oncologists and the brave mother of two young daughters diagnosed with cancer share in an unforgettable, true-to-life discussion about cancer in children. All 10 episodes are available on cliffcentral.com, on the Cliff Central app, or wherever you get your podcasts. So, if you know someone who needs to hear this stuff, pass it on to them. Send them the link. You may be helping them in a way that you don't even know. Understanding Cancer, brought to you by Discovery. All right, you ready for some news?
Yeah, boy.
Let's get into some news. First things first. The guy who was resurrected by Pastor Lucao is now apparently AWOL, says his employer. Man who was at the center of the resurrection video. You've seen this, Gord?
Yeah. I saw a very funny meme that was like, ironic how religious leaders are calling this person out to be punished and prosecuted for resurrecting a person from the dead in a sketchy way when their person that was resurrected from the dead 2,000 years ago was blue tick verified.
Mm-hmm. So the man who was allegedly resurrected in a video has been identified as Brighton, that's his name, from Zimbabwe. He's a 29-year-old man who worked at a timber company in Pretoria.
Oh, okay. The story makes sense then. I played golf yesterday with a guy who has a timber company.
Right.
Who then has verified this saying that he laughed because someone in his office sent a picture like, there's the guy who works for this company. And apparently he's done this before. He's been in wheelchairs before and he's walked before. He takes a couple of days off. He goes missing. Then he comes back to work and they never know where he is. And now this. I met the guy who owns the company yesterday.
So the key... The key to this that we can learn from this is that woodwork dramatically increases your chances of recovering from death. If you're not playing with wood on a regular basis, then you probably will die from death.
Well, at least twice in history we've figured that out.
Well, I mean, twice in history we know of that people came back from the dead. They both happened to be woodworkers. Coincidence? I mean,
I think not.
Yeah.
All right. Well, turns out Ben had inside info yesterday because this guy worked at a timber company, and the boss of the timber company told a news service that on Tuesday, the last time they saw Brighton was on the 19th of February when he arrived late for work. He'd gone to a funeral over the weekend before and told his colleagues he was late on Tuesday as church elders asked him to stay a bit longer. He's not been at work since last Tuesday, and his absence is being treated as leave.
Look, he was dead. So, I mean, now he's better. He's but he was for a while. He was dead. So, absence due to death, you could hardly... He hadn't been past it yet. So, now he's past it. But previously, he hadn't been.
Well, apparently the pastor raised him from... First of all, he's been in wheelchairs, as Ben said before. And then, you know, he could stand and he could walk before he couldn't stand up. And then they put him in the coffin and he managed to come up from the dead. His employer described him as an intelligent man. Can you imagine what a life he's had? He's worked for me, he's died, he was resurrected, and now he's been arrested.
Is that an official quote?
That's an official quote from his boss.
You know what? I don't blame the dude. Yes. Yes. What lives he's had.
And meanwhile, as Gord says, this guy has come under fire. The Commission for the Promotion and Protection of the Rights of Cultural, Religious, and Linguistic Communities. What a long name that is for an organization.
Do they have a cool acronym like PICTIMNER?
The CPPRCRL.
Supplicable.
Where's it coming in now?
I will supplicable.
Said on Monday that it would be investigating the incident. Now, what's to investigate? It's complete bullshit. You know, write it off, guys. What are you going to investigate? So you're going to prove that he wasn't really dead. And then you think those people who saw it are going to suddenly... You think those people who saw it are going to suddenly change their minds?
Prove that I wasn't dead.
I mean, that's ridiculous.
And it's the same people who are like, our entire philosophy is based on someone that died and got resurrected. Back in the oral tradition times. Yeah. They'd come with these new stories.
When we have cameras and physical evidence. As a commission, they said, we need to get to the root of this. Unless we do that, South Africans are taken for a ride and their intelligence is insulted. Said the commission's deputy
chair. Says the person in charge of religion in South Africa.
So there we go. That's the backstory on Brighton. I must try and get him in here one day.
He sounds like a Brighton.
Okay. Home Affairs plan to ask the Constitutional Court to extend a deadline to strengthen the rights of illegal immigrants. In 2017, the court gave Parliament 2 years to amend immigration law to ensure illegal foreign nationals are brought before a court within 48 hours of arrest. Parliament has been racing against the clock to meet a June deadline to amend the immigration law, but Home Affairs Deputy Minister Fatima Chauhan says that the bill in its current form is inadequate. It means you're saddled with a half-baked bill that nobody's happy with. That's probably not going to be well implemented because it's not solving the current challenges. In fact, she said, it may create a further complication regarding the existing challenges. So basically, illegal immigrants don't know whether things are going to get better for them or not. They're not sure what the rules are, and many of them will be mistreated as a result of that. So we've got to sort that out.
They do, like, do some pretty horrible stuff, like where they detain illegal immigrants before being deported. I forget the name of the facility, but it's up north, like nearby
Bridge. Lindela.
Yeah, Lindela.
Repatriation camp is what
I did a really cool ad campaign that won some awards, like, for Business Day. And one of the things it focused on was how, like, certain illegal immigrants can have a military airbase set aside for them to enter the country without papers, and other ones get, like,
You're talking about the Guptas.
Yeah, and other ones get detained without trial with their no right to retrieve their property, mm-hmm. no notice, no mm-hmm. phone call to tell the people that they were living with that they got picked up and deported, fed once every 2 or 3 days and kept there for up to 2 weeks before being stuck on a train and sent back home with nothing. What gives a certain illegal immigrant more rights than a South African, and what gives some less? So yeah, I'm not saying people must have free range to just come settle where they want to, like, in terms of international. I understand the need for international border control, but, like, when you're going to kick somebody out, you've got to do so with respect to their basic human rights.
Yeah, and treat everyone the same.
And let some have some kind of hearing, you know?
Yeah. So the ANC have said it believes the principle of innocent until proven guilty should be followed, therefore could not have suspended its spokespeople on allegations of abuse by women. Phule Mabe and Zizi Kodwa, who both are spokespeople for the ANC, have stepped aside voluntarily pending the finalization of allegations. Against them, Mabe was accused of sexually harassing his personal assistant. He was cleared of the allegations against him by the party and returned to work last week. Godwa is accused of drugging and raping a woman in a hotel room, but he's dismissed these allegations as part of a dirty tricks campaign. So Ace Magashule says, look, we cannot suspend these members based on allegations. He says both of them are innocent until proven guilty. Let's respect the universal principle, because one day this might happen to you. And what next? I think what he's saying is it might happen to him. And what next? Then there's an interesting story developing in the U.S., and it's very complicated. Who knows actually what's happening in the Trump administration? But Michael Cohen, who's President Donald Trump's former lawyer and problem fixer, arrived in Congress on Tuesday for a closed-door hearing in which he was expected to detail his ex-boss's alleged law-breaking and questionable business practices. It will be the first of three much-awaited appearances on Capitol Hill. Only one of these will be public for Cohen, who's already been convicted of illegally arranging hush payments to women who have claimed to have affairs with Trump. So Michael Cohen was the dude who used to call up Stormy Daniels and say, listen, there's an envelope of money, but you got to shut your face.
And the open and shut status of Stormy Daniels' face has had a much bigger implication on political news. Then.
Isn't it amazing?
Yeah, what her face does in terms of... I'll explain it to you later, sir. Off air.
No, I didn't know where this was going, because it is Stormy we're talking about at the end of the day.
Finally in the news, three new regulations around data bundles and cell phone use will come into effect in March. Do you want to know what they are?
Your shit doesn't expire, hopefully.
ICASA End User and Subscriber Service Charter will require all mobile operators to change their practices associated with data expiring and out-of-bundle data billing. According to ICASA, a license must send usage depletion notifications via SMS, push notifications, or any other applicable means when usage reaches 50%, 80%, and 100% depletion of voice and or SMS bundles. The charter states that users must be presented with an option to opt in or opt out of out-of-bundle usage.
Wonder what they'll opt.
They'll opt out, obviously.
Mm.
But you know what's so interesting about this is why has it taken so long for ICASA to get the networks to be honest and to stop? There is no reason that I can figure out that you have to be charged more for data that's out of your bundle than data that's in your bundle. They should cost the same.
Exactly. It's the same thing.
It's pure profiteering, right?
Do you point the finger more at ICASA or the mobile networks?
No, it's the mobile networks. They should have been honest with their customers from the beginning. These are the people who pay to use the network. They're the customers, the clients.
Mm-hmm.
They're the people who fork out hard-earned money. And some of these people have prioritized data over food, right?
Mm.
It's not a secondary or tertiary thing that they think about. It's primary.
You need it. You have to stay in contact with the world. You need it just to, never mind, like, feel connected socially and psychologically to other people. Like, you know, I wouldn't go as far as to call it a human right, but in Scandinavia, access to quality internet is a human right. And yes, like, it's a very different context to here, but if you don't have access to any kind of television, I mean, like, I had an interesting, very fascinating talk from a person of Cape Town University who was in charge of something that studies like people and how they behave. It was like anthropology. I don't remember exactly what he was professor something, but he said, like, you know, people in positions of privilege criticize. You drive past like informal settlements or RDP set developments, whatever. People are living not wealthy, and they're like, these people, they don't even have money, but they've got DSTV. It's like you become sociopathic or misanthropic if you have no connection to the world. If you don't have this little window that lets you feel connected to what's out there and you sit by yourself for long periods of time seeing no one or the same three people all the time, you go a bit mad. It's like not having connection, not being – so you need a phone basically. It's not a luxury. It's important.
No, it's essential. You need it for work. You need it for family. You need it for all these things.
Staying sane even.
Yeah, probably that too. Apparently, the U.S. have opened up green cards to Zimbabweans. They claim they're trying to be inclusive. That's interesting. And then Ira Khan says, I remember seeing this proboscis monkey in the intro to the movie Life of Pi. Me and my friend laughed so hard that all we could think about in the entire movie was a monkey with a dick on its face.
No.
that's exactly what it was.
Yeah, that's about right. And all thanks to Kulani this morning.
It's God's the friend. Actual dickhead of the animal kingdom.
Yeah, it is. So those are the things you need to know this morning. Let's get to Ben and see what's going on in the sport. Bitcoin, 3827 and Ethereum, $137 and Ether. Ben, what have you got?
Well, Gareth, more controversy over a call pack.
Uh-oh.
And it's a big midweek sporting bonanza in the football sense. So remember the Kyle Abbott?
Like, no.
He was a talented essay. Of course you don't. But I mean, just I was more talking to the universe when I said that.
Okay, sorry.
So he took a call pack, which meant that he said, I'm not playing for the Proteas anymore. I'm going to go earn points over in England.
Okay.
Go play for a county side.
Oh, okay. I do remember this guy. There was a lot of noise at the time.
Yeah. So, like, and Cricket South Africa were like, you know, it's a bit annoying because we've invested all the time into Kyle Abbott. And now him and then Riley Rousseau at the same time. They've just gone to now earn pounds over in England and they've turned their back in the process. Once you sign a call
this
pack.
This is like going on a date with a really pretty girl and you buy her dinner and you lavish her with gifts and then she ends up going out with another guy the night after.
Well, she ends up marrying.
Sounds like my last relationship.
No, she ends up marrying the other guy because this is the thing. Is like once they go sign the call pack, they can't actually play for the country because that's the rule.
Okay.
So you've now you're playing county cricket, but you're not eligible to be picked by a nation. You've actually you've thrown away your status as an international player.
Right.
And there was a lot of like bad feelings around this. Well, yesterday Dwayne Ulofia, the find of the summer basically, has done exactly the same thing.
Uh-oh.
He's decided he's going to take a call pack, and with that, everyone's naturally quite pissed off. So, Cricket South Africa CEO Thabang Moroi. He said, it's very disappointing. We find it extremely disappointing, in fact, that Dwayne has taken the step after all the opportunities we have given him, particularly over the past season and going forward, to live his dream of being an international cricketer. It's a fair comment, right? So you look at it in a couple of ways here. People are saying, ah, good riddance, screw you, you can go, we've got so many good fast bowlers. And yes, that's a degree of that is right. But we need depth in this country because we all know our domestic cricket isn't the best. So Dwayne Ulofa, yes, to quote those people, can piss right off. But if it's not guys who are, say, below Lungi and Gidi's level, Kakisa Rabada's level, pushing them the whole time, they won't get better. Now, if there's no one below that level as well, then domestic cricket, the guys are going to be scoring very cheap hundreds against lesser quality. So we need our talents to be strong. So people will say, well, look at all the Kolpak players that have gone. None of them would really make the Proteas. Yes, I get that. But we need domestic cricket to be as strong as possible. So this is a major, major, major loss in that respect. Now, some will also say, well, Cricket South Africa only offered him a contract. He wasn't currently in a contract. But yes, Cricket South Africa had committed to say, right, we'll give you a 2-year contract. You are part of our plans. You are part of the mix. And it's not to do with quotas and all that kind of stuff, because as soon as one of these stories breaks, you get a whole bunch of noise around the issue. So Cricket South Africa did their part. They felt confident that they did their part to invest in the player going forward. And he's now signed the Kolpak. Obviously, he's in the prime of his life right now. He's a big, mean, fast bowler. He likes playing cricket in England. And this is a good move, because financially, obviously, he's going to make a lot more money. And prior to Brexit, these deals might not happen in a few months' time. So,
Ben, if it makes sense financially,
yes,
and a lot of our talented players are doing this, what are we going to be left with?
We'll be left with a few players.
Crap ones.
Yeah, look, we've got similar problems in rugby, which I'll bring up in the next story. But this is unfortunately just one of those professional era things. We've got to suck it up, but there's got to be better understanding amongst the players with contracts and future, all that kind of stuff. Apparently there have been meetings, and Otis Gibson's also a bit pissed off that Antoine Olufe is leaving. But the guys are going to leave. This is what happens.
Well, I mean, the soccer people, football people, seem to have this more or less worked out.
Soccer's just the most professional thing. This is just how it is.
Just look at how they do it and go, cool, we're going to do that. Rad. Our sport's different, but we're going to manage that the same.
Yeah, look, I think football's been professional for much longer, so you don't have these teething issues that cricket and rugby have. And there's also so much more money, and there's so much, things happen so much faster there. Right. And people are traded like absolute slaves. So here, people, you know, they're put in pedestals, and their feelings and their futures, all that kind of stuff is considered. Whereas in football, they would have said, well, piss off, there's a guy from Ivory Coast that we're going to put in. He's currently 14 years old, but now we own him.
But on the other hand, millions and millions and millions and millions of pounds all the time.
Well, Dan's just sent me a screenshot of South Africa's post-Brexit Kolpak 11. Capped South African players snapped up since June 2016. We've got Stian van Sail, Sussex, Riley Rousseau in Hampshire, Colin Ingram in Glamorgan, Heino Kuhn in Kent, we've got Dane Villas in Lancashire, we've got David Visa in Sussex, Simon Harmer in Essex, Kyle Abbott in Hampshire, Hardis Viljoen in Derbyshire, Dwayne Olufe now in Yorkshire, and Morne Morkel in Surrey.
Yeah, so put those players back into the mix. Okay, Morne Morkel, he had a great long career for the Proteas. He's twilighting there. But yeah, it's a shame to miss all those players, but these are the kind of things that happen, unfortunately. And it really is that. So he's going to go over there and, I mean, look, in many respects, if it wasn't for the injuries that have plagued the Proteas fast bowlers this season, he might not have even got a chance at all. So the Proteas upgraded him because he played so well. But maybe this was his plan all along. I don't know. Anyway, it's just a shame. But that is sport, unfortunately, as people just keep going. I think it's now the 42nd South African players take a Kolpak. 42, Gareth. Fair amount. But it's nice to make money, people. It's quite simple.
Sure. And you can't, this is the point with a free market, is you can't dam it up or restrict it or regulate it. It just causes trouble.
What it boils down to is that obviously we're losing domestic talent, but also it's just good to have communication. It's a professional thing. And another kind of way of looking at it is that these guys do use the Proteas as a springboard to get these contracts. You have a great season with the Proteas. Everyone's talking about you. Suddenly, the Kolpaks come out.
Sure.
Suddenly, you're making IPL teams. And also, you know, Cricket South Africa can rightly feel aggrieved that this is happening. They are putting effort and time into these players. It is a massive investment. I don't know what the actual rand figure is, but it's a big investment to get these guys to top level, performing and maintained at that top level. But also, you've got to give a shout out to the guys who have stuck around, who have been so loyal and dedicated, like Dale Steyn. Like, he's given everything to this country. Same with Faf. You know, Faf could be making way more money elsewhere doing this stuff. But this is the thing. Some of these guys are there, and yet people still have the temerity to then say, oh, look at AB de Villiers going out there. Now he's just about the money. The guy gave a majority of his life to the Proteas and the SA cause. Anyway, if you're getting upset about what professional sports people do in their private life, then you've got bigger issues than I can ever comprehend. In rugby, Jake White has applauded the new contracting system.
Isn't that what you do? I mean, sorry, nothing.
No, but if you get really upset about what these guys do with their personal lives.
Got you.
Yeah, you know, it's like, like, how dare AB do this? It's like, well, it's because it's AB. You can do whatever the hell he wants. Yeah,
he can literally do whatever he wants.
Can.
They've tested this.
Yes. All right. What does Jake White say?
So there's a new, the Springboks are getting smarter. Now, I know we joked on the show many times that Rusty Erasmus has 73 jobs in SARU.
Sure.
He basically is SARU. He's the R in SARU. Also the U and the S and A. He really is. He's all the letters. But now he's bringing in all these different kind of steps because Alistair Coetzee, all the rest of them, they were just coaches. They really were. They were just coaches. They had a role. Rusty has a bigger picture towards these kind of things. Like, he wants the players to be contracted correctly. He wants the professional system to come through so that we can retain talent and obviously get the most out of talent. And the more he gets involved, the more things are happening. And now there's going to be a wider sort of scope towards the contracting of Box. And they're doing away with this whole thing that overseas-based players have to be have 30 caps in order to be eligible for the Box. But they are really, really enforcing this one rule, the Regulation 9 of World Rugby, that forces clubs to make the international players available during the test window, which can have to be up to 14 weeks. So in the past, people would sign SA players so easily because of this 30-test rule. So they'd be like, cool, we get to sign international quality. The guy will never be available for international window, so we can play him all the time. But now they're saying the international window is there for a reason. It will be completely implemented. So now Rusty's saying it's harder to sign these SA players. So they might not do it as often, which means less money will be thrown at them.
All right.
These are all good things. All okay. good things. It's just if we can maintain these players and if our politicians don't actually put the rand in the toilet every 5 minutes, that'd also be a very, very good thing. Speaking of rugby, Kobus Reinach, I remember him. He was that really talented, fast player who played for the Sharks, the scrum off. But he kind of only really had pace. He wasn't the all-round kind of product. As always happens, these guys go overseas, they go play in heavier fields, and their games really do develop. So he's 29 now, he's doing really, really well in England. He plays for, I forgot which team he plays for. He plays for an English team. That's all you need to know. And his coach is basically saying that there's a very good chance that he will come back for the Box in the World Cup, because we all know that outside Faf de Klerk, we don't really have a whole bunch of scrum offs. After the Farid Aprea era, we haven't really been able to maintain much talent in this position. But now there's a whole thing about quotas. And the interesting thing is, like, Kiwis love talking about this from time to time. And then they get absolutely lambasted over social media by people saying, oh, you don't understand our country. And he says, basically saying that Kobus Reinach has got all the qualities in the world, but there's a very slim chance that the South African team will ever go to the World Cup with three white scrum offs. So a bit of an interesting story, this. Because now players are now going back into this narrative like, I have to go overseas because I'm white, I'll never get a chance. And that has been proven, that white players still have many opportunities within the Proteas and the Springboks. Hmm. Yeah, I know, quite long-winded.
Controversial, Ben.
There you go. Tonight will be quite an interesting night of football. In the ABSA Premiership, you get to watch Mamelodi Sundowns versus Cape Town City at 7:30. And I tell you why that game is significant. It's because both of these teams still feel they've got a significant title chance, really. Now, Wits currently on top. They played 21. They got the 38 points. Pirates, same amount of games, they got the 36. Now we get the two teams in question. Sundowns with two games in hand are only 2 points behind Wits at the top of the table, and Cape Town City are 3 points behind them, but they have played the extra game. So that's going to be very, very interesting. And that'll be tonight at 7:30. For the English stuff, well, all the big teams are coming out for a bit of a trot midweek. Arsenal will be taking on Bournemouth, according to 10th South African time. Man City didn't play over the weekend. They are, of course, right neck and neck with Liverpool. They'll be hosting West Ham at 10. Crystal Palace will be taking on Man United at the same time. Chelsea versus Spurs at the same time. That's going to be a very interesting one. Of course, Chelsea had that big kerfuffle with their keeper, Kepa. He didn't want to come off the field.
The keeper's called Kepa?
Yeah.
Apparently, you can just refuse to be subbed. My mind was blasted.
I know. And then it was like, oh, but he had cramp. He didn't have cramp. Who really knows?
No, but their keeper's called Kepa.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Sarri, the manager, he's ticking time bomb, basically. And then Liverpool, they'll be taking on Watford. So the two top teams are playing tonight, 10 o'clock South African time. So we all know what panini is, right? It's not just...
It's a zom.
No.
It's a bread.
They make those football cards.
Yes, I loved those when I was a kid.
Exactly. So it's not just lunch, Gord. Your first go-to with that answer.
Ooh,
it's, it went well with lunch, though.
What? Is this the first thing that came out of his mouth? Why are you all going, and ooh, side-eyeing me?
Fine.
So there's this account called Panini Cheapskates. And what they do is that they basically have these really badly drawn players. So instead of getting the stickers and the cards, these guys draw their own ones. And it's quite comical, and they've developed a bit of a cult status around what they're doing. But now Man United, no fun Man United, have told them to stop using their players and the likeness of their emblem because they are infringing on copyright, trademark, blah, 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 that kind of stuff.
It's just
badly drawn.
It's pretty badly drawn is what I was trying to get out there.
But the Panini cheapskates are badly drawn on purpose. And they've been drawing these things in 2014 World Cup. It's a couple called the Pratchetts. And they've been doing this since 2014 World Cup. Had a huge amount of feedback on how great it was. They did the same in 2018, but now Man United, just no fun whatsoever. I said, stop drawing our people.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure some of the players didn't like their faces, and they threw this trademark thing in to kind of legitimize the bitch and moan. Otherwise, not a whole bunch of sport right now. There really isn't. I know coming into the weekend, there's Super Rugby. So much Super Rugby. We'll get to that on Friday, along with what's happening in golf and tennis and whatever you want. You let me know.
There we go.
You just
never had that
know.
Before. Ben's never said, you tell me what you want.
Go on to, go onto Twitter at Follow the Bounce and just tell me, what do you want on Friday? Let's make it open.
All right. Very good. Thanks, Ben. That's the sport. It's time for Sid by Sia. Go on.
Oh, damn it. I wish this happened while I was still at school. King's College Primary School in Jeffreys Bay is doing something different for their students. They
First of all, the school in Jeffreys Bay, is it really a school? Is it just a place people put their kids while they drink and smoke?
Well, actually, for that reason itself, the teachers and educators at the school have noticed just how much the learners are affected by the environment of Jeffreys Bay. And as you know, some of the learners come from harsh backgrounds, and the committee got together and they actually have made the school officially dog friendly. I think it's so awesome.
So they can take their dogs?
Yes. And they're like rescue dogs that are now incorporated into the school. And they say making the school now officially dog friendly not only boosts the children's compassion and care, but also boosts the children's overall morale throughout the school, which then affects their academics and how better they're doing there. So I think it's absolutely incredible. Their local Rotary Club actually published the story saying that the school now, King's College Primary School, is becoming a very phenomenal school led by a dynamic and forward-thinking team of educators. So they visited them recently and saw how the dogs have incorporated themselves amongst the learners by allowing the dogs to accompany their children, in inverted commas, to school. The staff have noticed a huge development.
Are they not for real, these children? You did air quotes. Like, are they?
Well, I'm saying air quotes as in the dogs are now able to follow their owners to school, or they follow their teachers
to school.
But why
are the children? What are they?
Well, it's not the dog's children. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, got you. The apostrophe was related.
It's an air quote, not an apostrophe.
But I mean, it's only going to take one inevitable.
You know what's so funny about that whole interchange is it wasn't funny because it's in writing, not in audio. But we'll just leave that alone.
It has nothing to do with the story, Gordon Laws.
What if the dogs don't get along?
Actually, no, they've been trying it for a while, and it's like cute to see these photos now.
Okay, that is pretty cute.
The kids are just randomly in assembly, and their dogs sitting in the chairs now, and they just follow the kids around. And I think overall, it's been having this positive ripple effect in the school. I think it's so, so cute.
Well, you know, companion animals are a big deal. And particularly for people who have either a mental health issue or people who have personality problems or whatever they might be, that people with addictions and all kinds of other things. Companion animals help.
Emotional support dogs, they're called.
That's right. Yeah.
Oh. And you get like a special little bib that you can put on it so that you can take it into restaurants and planes and stuff.
Come on. I would have wanted to
have
like
a friend that's done it.
Class,
I have a friend that's done it literally just to like, just for the privileges. Like, cool. Went and had her dog registered as an emotional support dog. And now like, they can't tell her no to bring it into restaurants.
Oh.
All right, very good.
Okay, she's abusing the system, but I think this is cute. That's just it by Sia for this morning.
Thank you, Sia. All right. We've got a busy day ahead of us. We've got lots of interesting things happening. We've also got a guest popping in a little bit later on. Jackie Masuku is going to tell us about a book. Gord, you're going to love this. The argument is that Jesus was born in March, not on the 25th of December.
Okay.
And that the idea of a male pope was part of the agenda that was put together by a Roman pagan governor. Homophobia is based in the town of Sodom and Gomorrah, and that is misleading, according to Jackie.
Mm-hmm.
Also, he argues against the idea of a God who doesn't have any association with hell.
So loads there of should be or shouldn't be association with hell?
We're going to find out.
Okay.
He presents God as someone who offers up a kingdom with only one requirement, kindness towards each other.
That almost makes sense.
Preaching a God who is exclusively male is a disgrace to God.
Certainly.
Huh. So we'll find out all about that and more.
There's disputes about Optimus Prime's birthday too. I wonder if we can get into that.
All right.
Okay, Gord. Thank you very much. We'll try to behave ourselves for the next couple of minutes.
This is CliffCentral.com.